Welcome to the Supported Living Property Podcast with your host, me, Lisa Brown, the place to learn about supported living property investing.
Hello, before we get started, I just wanted to let you know about something I've created to help you. The Supported Living Property Network is a place to bring together property investors with property to lease and providers who are looking to lease property. We have regular networking events where you can meet people in your area and a special community where you can connect and chat. It's a place for you to learn more about supported living property and keep up to date with monthly training events and training courses. To find out more, please go to www.lisabrown.uk or follow the link in the show notes. In this episode, Brian Smith talks about the proposed changes to supported accommodation for 16 to 18 year olds. He talks about current practice, how things may change in the future, and what this means for support providers and property investors. Hi, Brian. It's great to have you here today. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Lisa. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. For people who don't know you, do you want to tell people a bit about you and introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name is Brian Smith. I am currently a consultant for a company called Dialogue, and we do a lot of work around children's social care, and we've recently been involved with looking at the new regulations around the 16 to 18 year olds in supported accommodation. I'm a social worker by background and been kicking around doing this since about 1984, so it's been far too long. But yeah, I find that my role often is going into residential places and seeing and looking at mapping difference. So it's quite an interesting place we're in right now in this kind of forum around support accommodation.
Absolutely. And that was what we wanted to talk about principally today, wasn't it? Was
yes. This,
the proposed changes that are coming in and the review that's underway and what that's going to mean, you know, going forward. Do you want to just give a little bit of context to that? And for people who aren't familiar with this, explain what's been going on.
Okay. So
I appreciate that could be like hours of stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll keep it brief. So children's services, most people know, go up to the age of 18 in terms of residential provision, but there are two or three different elements within that. And one of those is supported accommodation. So children who are 16 can, and haven't really been known to local authorities in the past or had a kind of care history, can be placed in under the housing legislation into what's called supported accommodation. So the difference is it's not care and it's through like a housing provision, but there is an element of support that's contracted in. And that can start from 16 to 18. So for children, there has been a kind of dual offer, if you like. So you're in care, you're in children's home, and you're regulated. And that regulation is quite strict, and that's been around for quite a long time.
And that regulation is by Ofsted, isn't it? They regulate children's homes.
Yeah, it's Ofsted.
For 16s and unders. Yeah.
Yes. So Ofsted goes up to 18 in terms of children's homes and children's care, and also it's linked to schools and education. So they've been in place now for some years, and all children's homes are inspected and regulated against that number of quality standards that sit behind it. The local authorities retain a responsibility for all children. But if they are children that are deemed to need support and not care, then the offer of supported accommodation has been there. And one of the issues for those children that's been around for a long time has been the nature of the support that they can have that is quite different to the nature of support that you can have within a children's, if you're in children's care or you're in care. And so what we're talking about at the moment is that kind of move towards the 16 to 18 year olds who could be in supported accommodation and how they can receive more support and be regulated. So the local authorities can have a bit more of a kind of oversight of what happens to those children, because there has been a concern for quite a long time of, are they getting the right kind of provision that they should do? Are they getting the same level of care and support? And it's that, And it's that we're talking about here, really, in terms of of the background. And at the moment, there's a consultation document that's been going around. The potential for sported accommodation to be regulated from April this year, and the implications of that, and the consultations thrown up some interesting questions about what that might mean.
And I think just to kind of sort of explain a little bit more about what the differences are, you know, we're talking about potentially very vulnerable young people, aren't we, aged 16 to 18, who probably some of the most vulnerable in our society, really, being placed in unregulated support. And that would mean that really anyone can set up a, you know, historically, anyone could set up a support service for these young people. And sadly, there have been some horrific stories, haven't there, of children, you know, ending up in trafficking situations and all kinds of really very vulnerable situations when they should be being looked after. I think that's kind of the context, isn't it? And I was very shocked to discover, I really didn't realise that it was so unregulated, that support, you know, because at 16, you're not done, are you? You're really very vulnerable. No. And, you know, having teenagers myself, I know you do too, you know, they require an awful lot of input still at 16. So, you know, being moved into somewhere where maybe you're only getting a few hours support a week, even if that support's very high quality, you're still very vulnerable, aren't you?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And it is that kind of concern that's been sort of sitting behind a lot of the changes here, that, you know, children don't start being in need at the age of 16 and it was all hunky-dory before then. And we know that children who are at risk and vulnerable may not get picked up earlier. And it is at that transitional stage around sort of, you know, mid-adolescence, the pressures are coming at 16, school might be, and at that point a lot of home pressure increases. As we know. So I think from that kind of place, that's when, you know, children might find themselves presenting at homelessness housing offices and saying, look, I've been thrown out of home, and they might be signed emergency accommodation, and then they're going into. Now, for a lot of these children, those vulnerabilities are pretty unknown. And I think that's part of the concern, that how much do we know about the children coming into supported accommodation? And part of my background was, for 7 years, I ran supported accommodation services in London and across the South for a charity. And, you know, for a lot of children that age, it's okay because they are able to manage. But for an awful lot of others, there's needs that have to be met, and that unregulated element and the kind of accommodation that's on offer very often is just not suitable for providing that safe and secure place for children to live. And I keep using the word children because they are children. Even though they are 16 plus, they are children, and they need to have a response that's kind of equivalent to children who still need, even if the most adjusted child still needs something. And I suppose it's trying to find a way to have a provision that meets that need. And that's really where this is all sitting. So if we feel that there is a gap within this 16 to 18 group, who are very specifically challenging around competency, decision-making, a complicated time for those children, because at some point they can kind of get married, but they can't go and, you know, buy a bottle of wine. I mean, it's a kind of lots of very odd links at that point in their lives. And I think what we're trying to do is make sure that we can pick that up for those children coming through the supported accommodation route, rather than the care route, where all of that should be assessed and risk assessed and managed and overseen. And I think that really is the challenge for us.
And so what do we know about it's supposed to be these changes are supposed to be coming in April, you were saying?
Yes. So at this point we've had consultation and I think it's kind of fair to say that the response around the proposed regulatory changes are not universally welcome, that they are a bit too light touch. And one of the issues perhaps is around the kind of definitions of how things are regulated, who's responsible, who's accountable. And that might, and that has quite a lot of impact. I think there's a kind of sense here that the, and a good example is that in children's home, if a child is placed in children's home, every home will be inspected, every home will have a report to Ofsted, and Ofsted will have an oversight. In the proposals for the 16 to 18 year olds on supported accommodation, it's the provider of the service who is responsible. And if they have more than one property, which a number do, they won't see every property. They will talk about it as a review of the organisation, the registered provider.
Okay. So they won't be independently inspected in the way that children's homes are. No.
Okay. Yeah, they'll sample. They'll sample. So they'll go to a property. They might go to one or two. It depends. And again, that, you know, some providers, they have one property, so so that would be covered. But for others where they have multiple properties, then it's hard to understand just how many of those would be seen by an inspector.
Right.
And therefore the quality management of property, as an example, would be something that has come out as a concern. And I think the other concern is this different definition of care and support. It's supported accommodation. And there's always this reticence to say you provide care, because if you're providing care, you're a children's home.
Right.
But actually, we should be caring for these children in a supported environment. So there's a little bit of kind of ambiguity still around the level of that support, the level of input that children would get. And a lot of that comes down to the local authority who will contract services in. Mm-hmm. And the kind of, they got a child, they need to place this child, this is what they want for that child. And they will pay a certain sum to balance up the support side of it. But it's how much, what's on offer. Obviously, everyone's budgets are what they are. So we do fear that there's a kind of risk that these vulnerable children, as we identified, could be coming into accommodation that we're still not really clear about, and not getting a level of support commensurate with their needs, and therefore what's going to happen to them. And I think the implications are very clear to see. I mean, you talked about, targeting and trafficking, and I think we've all understood things like cuckooing these days. And all these little things that happen, they happen to vulnerable people. And we've got to keep these children safe, and therefore the regulations that come in should support everything we can, and support the providers too, to do everything they can to keep these children safe until they get to majority age, and then what comes next too, because we can't just reach a chronological age and go, well, that's it then.
No.
You know, suddenly you're 18, it's all fine. So again, that, you know, children won't be required to move on, for example, at 18.
Okay, so that's one of the proposed changes.
Yeah. So, which is an interest. So if you're in a children's home, once you reach 18, you will have to move. And very often you'll find that the hope is that you can keep a child in a placement till completing education in July. But if their birthday is in February, they will still move. Mm-hmm. So if you're 18 but in supported accommodation, there isn't a sense that you'll have to move at 18, because you're not in that same, you'll be in a different status, because you'll be outside of the regulated activity. But there still may be children in shared accommodation that are still subject to the regulated activity. So as an accommodation, it depends how you define your accommodation, and there are, I think, three definitions, like single placements, multiple placements, and the kind of foyer type, multiple bed type provision. So they're seen as different types of provision.
Do you want to just explain what they are? Because I think that's probably quite useful for people to understand.
Yes. So I think, you have like a single placement, or you'll have where a child has all their own, like a home, like a bed sit type accommodation, that's their own. And that might be within a single placement. So you're looking at that very much as a kind of standalone provision.
Then so there's would the support be within that, or would someone just come in and offer a few hours support around that?
It could be either. It could be
someone with quite complex needs who requires sort of, you know, their own property and on-site 24-hour support.
Yes.
Or it could be someone who's in a flat or a bedsit, like you said, somewhere, and they get a few hours support.
Yeah, and depending on the assessment of provision, that you might have someone call around, or as you say, it's a 24-hour staff resource, mm-hmm. but they will get that support within the plan. Mm-hmm. So there's also sort of multiple, where there are a number of flats I tend to avoid the words units of accommodation. I think that's the kind of language that gets used, and it feels used a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, homes. I quite like the word home. I think that's really what it should
home
be.
Home feels better. So you're defining that as where you have, you know, a number of children or a number of places within a building, which are a multiple site of
so like a block of self-contained flats. Would that be an example of that?
Yes, something like that. And then you have the more shared, where there are communal spaces. So the old foyer system, where you have like a front door and some shared space and accommodation. Mm-hmm. Often they will kind of sort of the YMCA type sort of places. So again, they would be sort of a third category, if you like. So they're trying to define the different experiences within the regulations that children might have. Mm-hmm. And obviously part of the assessment of need that should be made in placement is what level of need a child should have. I think we can all be realistic that often it's down to what's available. And I think partly that then comes to how much of this provision is out there for children. And one of the concerns is that by bringing in regulation, you may put people off providing this sort of service. It may feel that there's too much emphasis on oversight and hoops to jump through for providers. And therefore, that might mean that there's people coming out of the market.
And I think do you think that's the case? Because certainly the providers that I've spoken to who seem to be delivering very good service are welcome this regulation and actually are saying this is what we need. We need better oversight. But do you think in practice it is going to drive out good providers, or will it just be a way of sort of driving out maybe the ones who have got something to hide?
I think the jury's out. And I think that's part of the discussion that's going on to the consultation is that, yes, we run a supported accommodation forum. And the idea of that forum is for people who are looking to see what the impact might be. It's a discussion group. And it's really about trying to look at welcoming the regulatory framework and working within it. But I think often we kind of feel that the people who join the forums are the people who want to do the good job and would like to work within that. And I think the experience of working in regulated children's homes is that all children's homes want to meet the regulatory requirements, but there are still unregulated children's homes, and the unregulated element of supported accommodation is still a concern. Things like setup costs, the insurance costs, the kind of impact that this regulation brings, where you have to register with Ofsted, and there's various charges that go with that, which you can look up on the government websites in terms of the consultation, because I don't want to get that bit wrong. But it applies to a single provider may have the same cost as someone who's got multiple units. So the actual impact of registering and set up would be the same.
Oh, that's a bit crazy, isn't it? That it's not tiered.
Well, and that's part of the feedback is that there should be a very clear, if you're a single provider, the cost should be, you know, proportionate to what you're providing, because the only way you pay for it is to take that out of your fees, and your fees need to cover all your other costs. And those that are in the market know those margins aren't that big. Local authorities don't have a lot more money to add on the additional costs. So there is a risk that it might price some people out, and that's something that some of the providers are fed back and are looking to get support on. And conversely, that also, rather than drive out those that you feel might be you know, looking to get away from regulation, you might feel that they're actually going to say, well, actually, you know, we'll wait, and because someone, there's going to be a need. And the problem will be that the larger providers and housing associations that might have properties who will be registered would be able to meet that need in terms of the property, but not necessarily to the standards that we would want to, you know, see ourselves driving towards. So there's a bit of a concern around the cost element here.
Are there any, is there anything else that people have fed back to you as well, those concerns or things?
Again, I think the lack of under children's homes, for example, you have what's called independent visitors, and the independent visitor will go each month to a children's home. So Ofsted visit once a year, and they put a grade on any children's home, and depending on the level of grading, it depends on how you're seen, and how much follow up there'll be. In between, it's called a Regulation 44 visit. And the Regulation 44 visit is a monthly check-in by an independent person who will go to the home, who will try and meet the children, have a look around the place, really get a sense of, is this property, is this child being well cared for and safe at this time? And that really supports that kind of oversight of the needs of these children. Where you've got the potential for multiple sites within a one provider and a registered person covering, you know, I think it's very unclear the degree of responsibility that one person can hold. It's kind of whatever feels reasonable. Well, depends whose definition of reasonable is to how many properties one person could possibly manage to see within a working week and do all the other work they have to do. So we think that there is a potential for a lot of children to be going into accommodation. We're not seeing the accommodation. We're not seeing the child. We're not getting that kind of oversight to the degree that you see in children's homes. And I think that is throwing a lot of concerns around safeguarding. It's throwing a lot of concerns around progressing care planning. So again, it's that level of if the child is in need, where are they going to be when they're 18? How are we helping them get there, and who is overseeing it? Is the property fit for purpose? One of the regulations you have to look at as you go around the property, and we're not experts, but you have a look at all the kind of regulations around PAT testing and fire risk and all the things that should be, just to make sure that these children are in safe places. And that we do it every month in a children's home, and yet there may not be a requirement that people go around the properties that they're being moved into at 16 under the supported accommodation route. And I think there's enough evidence in the press around standards of accommodation provision for those people that want to exploit it. And I think there's the line. If bringing in regulation, how are you going to ensure that that is going to be not going to happen to children? Because it happens to a lot of people and we know that. And these are vulnerable children. So I think, again, the jury might be out. It's going to meet that need, again, a serious concern within the provider community is around that.
And I think that was always a concern, wasn't it? Was it going to have enough teeth when this came in to actually make the impact that it needs to? Yeah. You talked a bit about the property requirements there. Within it, is there any clear guidance around property requirements and what that might look like?
Not specifically. I mean, again, it talks a lot around it being property needs to be sort of suitable for children. I think we've talked.
What does that mean? Does it say anything about that, or is that just left to be for
interpretation? It's left a little bit, as far as I'm aware, unless I've missed something. There used to be in children's homes, there used to be like a minimum size for a bedroom, for example. That doesn't exist anymore. So it's what you should, in a children's home, you should be able to have a double bed or a good single bed with a cupboard and a wardrobe. It specifies what you should have. It used to specify as how big. Now that's not the case. As long as you've got those elements within your personal space. Mm. There's nothing like that within the guidance for supported accommodation. So it's very much up to the whoever has the accommodation to present what they have and how that meets the need of children. And obviously, you know, most people provide a nice space. They provide the kind of things that children have, but it's not specified. We had a conversation about, you know, do you provide pots, pans, cutlery, all the things that a child of that age may not have, yet they're supposed to look after themselves. And again, it's not specified, but if you buy it, it's not cheap.
No.
And the child's probably going to take it with them, so then you have to replace it. So, you know, small things like all, you know, what's required, accessibility, as long as it's safe. But again, the categories of could be shared space or could be contained space. It really is down to what you offer. And I think that, again, presents potential gaps in the quality and level of provision, because we would hope for there to be something much clearer and tighter of expectation. When you have a child that's presented and someone who wants to make a placement, and you have providers who've said, I've got accommodation, and what you hope is that the person who's got the person presented needing accommodation can look at the kind of accommodation and they offer that opportunity to go there. I think one of the, those in the, who work in this, is this idea of bidding for children. Have you come across that phrase? I think we all feel that slightly concerning language, where what you're offering is a placement, and in a marketplace, if you're offering something that meets that child but may not suit that child, it should be much more of a kind of matching exercise. Mm-hmm. There is a kind of sense of bidding and cost being an element within that relationship.
Yeah.
And again, it's raising that kind of, now we're into this idea of, well, you're providing a regulated activity, you should be going into the regulated activity to see what it's offering, that it's meeting what it says on the tin. And I think that there is concern of the resources that will allow that to happen to a degree when you've got a vulnerable 16-year-old, you know, a week or 2 weeks while they're figuring it out isn't really going to be good for them. They need to know we need to be sure that when they go there, at least everything was done that could be done to provide the right support at the right time for that child.
And do we know also about the planning class use? Because obviously children's homes have to be C2 planning use going for, and currently supported accommodation can just be C3, which is just residential, you know, class. Does it say in the guidance what's going to happen around that?
There's no recommendation that it has to be C2. We raised that within the consultation, and it's not, so the understanding is it won't, supported accommodation under regulated activity won't require a C2 classification.
That's good.
Which is helpful.
That's good. Yeah, because I think that would be a barrier to access to properties, wouldn't it, from a lot of landlords and property.
Well, I think when you're having to register and you're having to comply with something that actually doesn't really meet the building itself, it all seems a little bit antiquated.
I think so. I think it's a hangover from institutional care, isn't it, when a children's home was something out of Annie or something, you know, you know, not like a standard family home like most children's homes should be these days.
Should be now. So yeah, my understanding is there is no requirement for that to be coming in as part of this regulatory framework.
That's useful. And obviously there is a massive demand, isn't there, for properties in this space. It's something that I know a lot of providers are looking for, good quality properties all the time, aren't they, to meet the needs.
They are. Yeah. And I think that, again, is one of the elements of that's being explored throughout, is the level of need and the level of what the accommodation could be. Because, again, I think with the best will in the world, we know that children, there aren't enough children in care population is going up, not down. Mm. So the push for placements is quite high. And the needs that are coming in as recognised in children's homes, which is really my backbone, you can see that there's an increase in level of need. So the risk of supported accommodation becomes a sort of quasi-children's home, but without all the the resource to go with it must, I think, is a concern. And one of that is the kind of levels of property availability and the kind of nature of what that looks like. So there is a need. And I think trying to meet that need in a proper way, I think, is a really is a good sector challenge. This having a regulatory discussion is really useful. It needs to be regulated. It should be regulated. It's important that it is, because people need to do the same as what we know happened in children's homes to this cohort of children. And we need to offer them that different offer. They don't need to be in care. They don't need to have that, but they do need to have a safe and secure place to live. They do need to have people around them that can guide them and help them. And they do need to have a kind of someone holding someone to account for how that happens. And that goes along with the property. The properties that need to meet that need. Mm. And I think that there's a really positive scope for that to happen. I think there's a lot of good opportunity there.
Mm.
But it has to be very mindful that these are children who have needs, and that there's a risk to there. So if we do it right, we can offer a good solution.
Yeah. Brian, thank you. That's been really, really helpful. We'll pop your contact details in the show notes and the contact details for Dialogue, and also the links to the reviews and stuff so people can find out more if they want.
Absolutely. And if you put the link to the Sport and Accommodation Forum, it should be there. So okay, people want to kind of have a look at that. They can join us with that. Then people are more than welcome to do so.
Great. Thank you, Brian. Thanks very much. Take care. Bye.
Cheers. Bye then.
Thank you for listening. If you found this useful, then please do click the subscribe button and leave a review. If you enjoyed this episode, would you please consider telling someone else about it? Sharing the podcast really helps increase the reach of the show, and I would be super grateful. Thank you.